Good morning, everybody. Every first week of the month, we participate of the Lord's Supper together. The Lord's Supper is for those who have accepted Jesus Christ and already baptized. And before we partake of the Lord's Supper, let's read the text for today. 1 Corinthians 11, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until you came." So we see the bread represents Jesus' body that's broken for us, and the cup represents the blood that is shed for us. And before we participate of the Lord's Supper, we are also reminded that to forgive, to confess our sins to the Lord. And also, in this time, a lot of strange things happening in Hong Kong and around the world. We are also reminded that we have to lay aside our burdens, and we get to forgive people who have wronged us, from co-workers or even family members who sometimes go against us. So let's spend this time in quiet meditation before the Lord and ask the Lord to forgive us and for the strength to forgive others. Lord, we come before you, Lord. We know that the God beyond all galaxies is powerful, Lord. But in Jesus Christ, Lord, we know that you are pure. We know you are passionate, Lord. We know you are personal to us, Lord. And thank you, Lord. When you came, the Word became flesh. You dwelt among us, Lord, and you forgave our sins, Lord. You show us the way to live, Lord, and you restore relationships, Lord. And I pray, Lord, this morning, as we come before you, we confess our sins, knowing what we have done wrong and what we have not done right. And we pray, Lord, that you give us another month for us to remember all the good things, Lord, you've given to us and to share to people. And most of all, share for healing and forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take the first layer. It's a little tricky. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the second layer. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Let's all rise and pray the Lord's Prayer together. Whether you're baptized or not, let's rise together and pray the Lord's Prayer. 1, 2, 3. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. See everybody back here again. It's been very, very strange times. And today I was a little bit nervous because because our moderator is first time today, so I'm getting a little bit nervous. So today I asked him, where is the Lord's Supper? He said, "What Lord's Supper?" Okay, so we kind of get a little bit nervous here. And today I'm going to start on Habakkuk chapter 1. Okay, what's the name of this prophet again? A lot of you haven't heard this prophet, okay? Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1, and there are three chapters. And I'll go talk about chapter 2 in 2 weeks' time. And our church, Reverend Soul, talked about Habakkuk chapter 1 a few verses before. And so I was going through this Strange Times in Hong Kong, I thought about not just doing a few verses, but going through the whole book of Habakkuk and see what Habakkuk has to tell us today. So I'm going to start with Habakkuk chapter 1 and return to chapter 2. Okay, let's begin a word of prayer. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will help us, Lord. We have this tremendous burdens, baggages, Lord, and a lot of things, Lord, that trouble us nowadays. And we turn to your word because, Lord, we know that your servant has a lot to say, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you will teach us your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's this story about this elderly man, and he had a very large ego. And he went to an art gallery with his wife and some friends. And he was quite nearsighted, and that day, even though he's a great art critic, but unfortunately that day he forgotten his eyeglasses. And as he went into the art gallery, stood in front of a large frame and began to talk to his friends about him as an art critic, how he sees his artwork, okay? In the first place, he said, even the frame is all wrong, okay? It's not keeping in the subject, and he saw something in the subject. And for the subject itself, the person, okay, the subject is too ugly to be in this beautiful frame, okay, to make a good picture. At the time, his wife was getting a little bit nervous because of the wife's husband's very critical person, okay, and tried to nudge him and try to whisper to him something, but the husband, like most husbands, ignore the wife, okay, and keep on saying in front of friends, okay. It's even a great mistake to do this frame because the background is wrong too, okay? So, and the wife again tried to nudge him. But again, the husband said, moreover, the subject, the person in this picture, not only has poor background, the face doesn't have character, okay? At this time, the wife couldn't help but interrupt him and say, honey, you're looking at the mirror. Okay. And today we're going to talk about Habakkuk the prophet. And I love Habakkuk, and I haven't preached about Habakkuk before, but this is as good a time to talk about Habakkuk in Hong Kong. Habakkuk is very alarmed at what's happening in his society and the world around him. He's very aggrieved at all the things going on, and he's very argumentative, okay? And today I talk about prophets. The prophets are the rich source of poetry, prophecy, prayers, and even a lot of parables. And some commentators say the prophet is actually doing some protests, okay? Which is what I like about nowadays in talk about this subject. He's a protester of some sort, but his protest is against God. God, why are you not doing your job? So he become very disillusioned, okay? He become very, very, a lot of things he want to take issue with God, this creator. And so today we can talk about him and what did he see that provoked him to write this book and one of the most beautiful books in the Bible, okay? Now, for us, as we read this book, what's your instant reaction when you see everything that's around the world today? Do you blame others? Do you blame yourself? Or I leave you like Habakkuk, not only blame the nations around him, but to blame God. Okay, that is his fight with God. Okay, when you see the world that's wrong, what perspective do you have other than panic and want to immigrate? Okay, and how do you respond? Okay. And given the chance, how will you correct the injustices around the world? You are you that powerless? Okay. So the first thing I want to share from Habakkuk is that point number one is that when we look around us, okay, first thing we do is we bemoan the fallen world. Point number one, bemoan the fallen world. We must have sympathy. We must have compassion. We must have heart for the world, just as Habakkuk did. Let's read the verses together. 1, 2, 3. The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There's strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. There's a story about matchmaker, and he wanted to matchmake a girl, and he found a poor student, okay? And he said to the poor student, the matchmaker said to the poor student, "Well, do I have the right girl for you to get married?" And the student said, "I'm not interested." Okay? But matchmaker said, "She's a very beautiful girl." Okay? And then the student got a little more interested and said, "Really?" Okay? "Yes, she comes from a very rich background too." And the student said, "Are you serious?" Okay? And the matchmaker said, "Of course I'm serious. Would I lie to you? And she has a long line of ancestry. She comes from a very noble family." Okay. And the student said, "Wow, it all sounds good to me. But why would a girl like that want to marry me? What's the catch? She would have to be crazy." And the matchmaker said, "Well, you cannot have everything in life. What's wrong with the girl? Crazy." She's crazy. So Habakkuk look at the world around him and see everything that's wrong. Okay, "Lord, you give me this wonderful world to live in, but there's something wrong. It's crazy, this world around me." Okay, so in verse 1, you look at all these irrational things around him. He cannot reconcile himself with all this imperfection that God revealed to him. And so this verse 1, go back to the verse 1. In King James Version, originally, it's not called the prophecy. Okay, originally, it's called the burden. But somehow, NIV want to make it more softer. Okay, make the prophecy. So Habakkuk begins with this great burden that he wanted to unleash before God for all the things that's happening in the world. Okay, and he had received his see in Hebrew. "I see all this and it's becoming a burden to me. Why are all these things wrong?" And so it was taxing, tiresome, and troubling to him. Okay, and he began to ask this question. Question number 1 was that, how long? Time, okay? How long? How long is and then he called, the second one is, "I cry to you," okay? And he used the call and used cry. 2 words, okay? One is to speak out, and one is the cry is more like a shrieking voice, like cat in the night or like doves, okay? He's going out to say, I'm so aggrieved, Lord. What are you trying to do? And he continued, "You did not listen to me, and you did not save." You see that? So it's very sad, very sorrowful. And he has this stricken cry about what's going on in the world around us, like sometimes we do at this time in Hong Kong, right? And he said, why do you make, verse 3, the second question, why do you want to make me look at injustice? Okay, and this look, he began, is the prophet. The prophet, I'm from Malaysia originally, okay? A prophet in Indonesia is Nabi. Okay, so he uses this as a verb form. Why do you make me Nabi as a prophet? Why do you make me look as a prophet and all these things? Don't let me look at it. I don't want to see it. You know, a prophet has this powerful, special gift from God to expound the future at times, right? And he said, why do you want me to look into the future? And I look at it, I don't like what I see. Okay, why? Because from now on, you can see a lot of damage. He's going to see Israel being defeated, and he's going to see the whole country destroyed. Even this temple will be desecrated, and he doesn't want to see it. Okay, he has seen enough from the Assyrians that had taken away the northern kingdom, and now it's about 600 before Christ, and 586, the southern kingdom will be exiled. 15 years before, Habakkuk said, I don't want to see what the future is like. So you look at this chapter and say verse 4. Verse 4, the word justice and judgment occur 4 times in the book. Twice in verse 4, one time in verse 7, and one time in verse 12. So it's really troubled by the lack of injustice, and like many of us, he wants to see justice. Okay, and so justice is in short supply. It is slipping away from us, and sometimes it's snuffed from us, it's squeezed from us, and there's no solution in the world. Why? It's so injustice. But do you like Habakkuk? I love him, because he looked at the world around him, and he understands the world as it is not perfect. If it's perfect, we don't need God, right? If we're perfect, people will forever, we'll always be the rich and not the poor, right? But he's a prophet, and he knows that there are a lot of things that are wrong in this world. And verse 4, he says that people hem him around. Do you see the word hem? So you're surrounded, you're encircled and compassed, you know. There's no running away from what you don't see, from all this, you know. When the coronavirus came, I have a doctor friend who's working in Timun, and he called me in the middle of the night, and he said, "Victor, we already had texted on WhatsApp, but he still wanted to call me." He told me, even before it broke out, he said, "There's a humanitarian disaster. It's coming to the world." I knew there was an outbreak already, but I didn't feel it. They called me in the middle of the night. That night I had a dream. Started to dream. Because I knew how serious it was. And I dreamed I was driving a car. I was rushing back to church. I was a lot fierce. Would the church be infected? So I drove my car and came back to church. And hallelujah! The church was not infected. But you see, the point is that when we look at the fallen world, are we glad we're escaping? We should not be. We should see and we should feel with people around us. And that's what I like about Habakkuk. He's the prophet. God won't judge him, won't punish him, we'll be the last. But he will put himself in people's shoes. Okay, first point is bemoan the fallen world. But we got to go more than bemoan. Okay? The second point is we must see the bigger picture. We behold the fuller picture. Okay, let's read. You guys help me to read, okay, while I prepare. Verses 5 to 11. 1, 2, 3. Like an eagle swooping to devour. They all come intent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They mock kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. By building earthen ramps, they have captured them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty people whose own strength in their cigar. Here are some letters to God from kids, okay, innocent kids, inquisitive. So they wrote this letter to God, okay. Do you have that? Okay, let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Dear God, who draws a line around the countries? Dear God, I beg. my father met. He said some things about you that people are not supposed to say, but I hope you will not hurt him anyway. Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love all the people in the world. There are only four people in the family, and can you never do it? Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they are in their own rooms. It works with my brother. Dear God, are you a ninja? Is that why I can't see you? Dear God, would you make me a little brother? I need somebody to boss around. Dear God, my mother told me what you do. Who does it when you are on vacation? I love this letters to God, okay? But sometimes we want to write our own letter to God too, okay? Just like Habakkuk did at all the injustices. And let's go back to the verse 5. Now, I love to tell you guys about Hebrew Bible, okay? Verse 5, what are the imperatives? Okay, imperatives are the commands written into the Hebrew language, okay? And there are three. What is that? Look, watch, and be utterly amazed, okay? So, look, again, is the same word from the word prophet, the verb form, okay? So, it's very, very interesting. Now God is asking Habakkuk to look in the future, okay? Because just now, Habakkuk refused to look in the future, okay? And he said, be utterly amazed. Utterly amazed means the same thing as amazed. That means you'll be very, very confounded. You'll be utterly destroyed in your heart. You'll surely be surprised, okay? God says, what I'm going to bring to you. But of course, Habakkuk won't be shocked. He won't be stunned. He won't be speechless anyway. And say, you will not believe it. This word, not believe, is all. A lot of this was found from Moses when God called him and said, I will not believe, I will not believe, I will not believe. What is it so spectacular? God say, I'm going to punish the Assyrians who are punishing you now. I'm going to punish the Assyrians who took away the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, that left only you, 2 tribes. But who am I going to use to punish the Assyrians? The Babylonians. Baloney, huh? The baloney, huh? The Babylonians. The Babylonians, who are the Babylonians? In Habakkuk's mind, it's even worse than the Assyrians. God, you're not giving us a choice. Okay? You're giving us... Nowadays, Christians are surrounded with so many things around the world, right? Christians, you're in Africa, you're surrounded by what? You're surrounded by Muslims, right? And sometimes you go everywhere around the world, you're surrounded by the Muslims, the communists, and even the nationalists. A lot of things. That's what made Habakkuk so angry. Why do you punish the Assyrians who do many bad things to us by giving a worse, more cruel country to punish them? And soon they're going to take us away. And where Daniel and all those will flourish in Babylon. Okay? So at that time, the Babylonians, nobody thought they would be a great kingdom and a great power. They were sea warriors. Nobody would think they would land. And that's why when God revealed to this prophet, the prophet knew the Babylonians would come. But he also saw the devastation that he would bring. Okay? And let's take a look at the next chart. It's poetry. The Bible, especially the prophets, is a beautiful piece of art itself. Okay, let's take a look at the verses 6-7. I have it here. You guys don't have it. I don't know why. Okay, verse 6 and 7. Who are these Babylonians? Verse 6 and 7. They're going to punish the nation. They're going to possess the nations. And they're going to what? With authority and arrogance around them. And verse 8, the animals that they come with, they have horse. Horse are trained, okay? They gallop very fast. Leopard are from the jungle. Okay, verse 8, you find them. Wolves, okay? Wolves, they hunt in packs. Eagles, they attack from the air. So that's how they come. And that's what Habakkuk predicted. talk about the acceleration and the agility. And verse 9, they talk about nature, the wind. It's going to talk about sand. They'll talk about what? The advancement, how sharp it is. They're going to come. Verse 10, all the kings and princes will bow to them. Okay? They're going to scoff at kings and scorn all these people in power, even the Assyrians and even Israel. What are they going to do? They're going to amuse them, and then they're going to abuse all these powers. And verse 11, they're going to even go to other countries, including Israel. And what are they going to do? They're going to offend all the gods, the idols. Okay, and they're going to affront them, and we're going to make them just into nobody. So when Habakkuk saw this, and he was even more aggrieved than before. But God let him see the fuller picture. That even the Assyrians, because for a long time, Habakkuk was complaining against the Assyrians. These Assyrians are no good. They are bad people. They treat us like dirt. God tell them, okay, I'm going to reveal something to you. I'm going to punish them. But I'm going to punish them with better dudes than them. And he painted all this, the fuller picture. You know, for many of us, we really don't understand God's wisdom. It's very, very hard, okay? We're going to understand God's work. We don't understand God's way. How a little virus is going to infect 70% of the world, according to experts in the future? How a little virus can lead people to immigrate, come back, because they fear the virus over there, okay, and leave so little room for people to travel? Have you ever been to outside lately? It's summer, nobody's going anywhere. But God tells you, I have the world in my hands. You won't understand it, okay? You won't understand what I'm doing. But the first thing you have to do is to identify with the people around you. Second is, believe me, I show you the bigger picture, God is going to win this war. The third thing, believe the final outcome. Verses 12 to 17. Okay, let's read. 1, 2, 3. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too... You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up more righteous themselves? You have made people like the fish in the sea, like the sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He watches them in his net and gathers up in his dragnet. And so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net he lives in luxury, enjoys his choicest food. It is easy to keep on emptying his net, destroying the nations without mercy. Long time ago there was a movie, okay, the next PowerPoint, that won all the awards around them, okay. I have it here. It's called Life is Beautiful. How many of you are old enough to see this movie? Old enough, okay. Or young enough to be an artist to collect all these old movies, okay. Now, this Life is Beautiful talks about a Jewish family in Italy, okay. His name is Vito, okay. And when the Nazis came, they took away the man, his wife, and his little boy, okay. And this father tried to protect the little boy from the horrors of war and the hatred in people. And so, even while they're captured, he tried to have games with his son to help him to give him the spirit to live. And so he said the son to pretend and to not be down on himself, and by not being down on himself, he's going to win so many points, like all the other kids in the imprisonment. And the first person to get all these points will win a tank, like a fighting tank. A tank will come very big for him. And so this little boy was, well, he had to obey his father and play this makeup game in order to keep the son alive. And in the end, when they finally took the father, because he couldn't, because the invasion of the army were coming, and so the Germans wanted to wipe away everybody. And so, when he was marched to be gassed, he marched like a comedian. And the son was put in a smaller room to save the son. And the son couldn't understand why the father is still like a comedian. But he was taken away to die. And so the father said, stay there forever. Until you cannot but come out. And so he stayed there as much as he can. And finally he came out and he saw a tank coming in. And what country is that tank from? American tank. Okay? They had won the war. But the father was taken. And so they took the little boy and saved the little boy. Why did the father did all this? To give the son the spirit to live on, not to give up. And so in this story, the same thing. God helped Habakkuk to see who God is. He's the Holy One. He's the rock. He's the everlasting. You don't give up. And that's what the Lord is trying to tell him. But of course, we have trouble with this. But God told him, look at me, don't look at the world around him. I'm the rock, I'm the Holy One. I'm from everlasting. You don't look at the people around you, the powers, okay? And it's very hard. But in the meantime, your courage was in me, your confidence was in me, and your compassion for the world must not be gone. You're going to see the world like I see it, okay? And so, at this point, he has to believe the final outcome that God is going to do. Okay. And what's this kind of final outcome? Verse 12, I have appointed and I have ordained. The things around them, God will make it work for his glory. It's like Romans 8:28, right? All things work good for those who love him. So God say, I've set up, it is settled, okay, and you believe in me. Okay. And how? He's going to say, I'm going to punish, okay, and say, I'm going to ordain all these things to come. Now, verse 15 and 17. Verse 13 onwards, okay, he say all this. That you can see all this evil that's going on, but you can trust in God. Okay? Verse 13. Verse 13, Habakkuk has a lot of problems. He says, how can you tolerate all this wrongdoing? How can you swallow all these things? Okay? He couldn't keep it in himself anymore. And so, verse 13, this all age-old question. Why does evil exist? Okay? Which we Christians always have to solve. Okay, and this is my equation. Next one. Okay. First, next PowerPoint. Next. Okay. Oh. Next one. No more. Okay. This is why. Okay, write it down. Number one, evil is caused by sin. Okay. There you go. Oh, found it. Okay. Evil's past and future. There are three things you have to know about future. Evil. In verse 13. He has this ongoing argument with God about evil. Why do you use evil? Okay. First is that evil is caused by sin. It's not caused by God. God permits evil to happen in this world. Allow evil to happen in this world. But God is not the first cause. Okay? evil is caused by sin. The second thing about evil, as believers, we try to understand it, is evil is captive to God. No matter how evil in this world, God will defeat it. God has really dethroned it in Jesus Christ. He's confronted it, and evil cannot harm us. I live in the slogan of fear no evil, okay? Because I believe in God, okay? The last thing is, evil is catalyst for change. It's because we see this evil injustice in the world, then the good people don't sit and don't do anything, but is that they have this conscience to do something. We cannot overturn evil, but neither can we overlook evil. Okay? God put us here as agents in this world. Okay, we cannot obey evil. We must oppose evil, as the Lord wants us to. But God gave us three treasures, okay, to do that. What is that? Courage. Second treasure God given is wisdom. And the third treasure God given us is this gift I love the most. It starts with the word G. What evil fears the most besides God? Goodness. Okay? God gave us goodness. Whenever you see the world around you, you're given hope, you believe that there's goodness, either in your family or your friends or people you don't know who will come out and be a witness for God. Okay? So, because of this, we don't give up. And so, on the other hand, next, the chart, please. Okay. The chart, God says that God is going to catch everything evil in this world like a net. There are three therefores in the original. Therefore, rejoice and is glad. Therefore, sacrifice and burn incense. Therefore, they empty their nets. All these are the bad people. But God is going to use a parable. What parable is going to use? Ding, 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 ding. Ding, 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 ding. It's an old Cantonese song. 望中人, huh? The net, okay? God is going to catch everybody in this net. This week, I went to the Chinese chiropractor, and I was put, because of my bad knees, so I was put in this small little net, okay, for 2 days, and I cannot wash, okay? And I find that I cannot move at all. So God is going to use a net parable to catch all the evil people in this world today. Brothers and sisters, believe it, okay, that God is pure, God is holy, and before Him, nobody can stand, okay? So let us go back to the last PowerPoint. Do you have one more last? Okay, now there are three things the Bible teaches us, okay, about evil. Let's read the first one. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Okay, second one, let not your heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day. Third one, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. That's how I want to end my sermon today. Let's pray. Lord, we just pray, Lord, you will give us wisdom, see how we can confront evil in the world today, Lord. We are like Habakkuk because we are so crestfallen we have no courage, Lord, at all these things going on in the world. But Lord, you are powerful, Lord. You are passionate, Lord. You are pure, Lord. And you come to us, Lord, to continue to use us, Lord. And we believe, Lord, that you give us courage, wisdom, and goodness in this world to be your special agents. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. Amen.